Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman continues with further discussion of the world's critical ecological issues. For more information, you may call 310-559-9160 or go to www.ecoprojects.org. Now, here's Nancy.
We're going to be talking about using the performing arts, theaters, plays, to address various cultural and environmental issues with my guest, Joel Ulloa. He is a playwright and is part of the Latino Theater Company's Circle of Imaginistas. He has recently written the play Tacos La Brooklyn. His other plays have included Revitalized and A Bag of Options. He was selected to be part of the Cimientos program, a play development program hosted by the IATI Theater in New York City. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I had an absolutely fantastic time last Saturday watching your play, Tacos La Brooklyn. And while it would not be considered an environmental play, it did have a lot of interesting elements regarding culture, regarding gentrification, organic food, neighborhoods, how they exist and how they're maintained, impact of influencers, the issue of appropriation versus appreciation. It was most fascinating because it was set in the LA River Market in three different languages, English, Spanish, and Japanese, because you also included and produced it in association with the East-West Players. I think you better give a little summary of what the play is about.
Thanks, Nancy. You're absolutely right. It definitely covers a wide breadth of issues. I like to think that it's very much an LA play, similarly to the breadth of issues that it covers. A quick synopsis, the play really follows the story of Chino, who is a young Korean-American boy who is adopted and then lives through different foster housing and eventually is taken under the wing of an East LA taquero who teaches him how to make tacos de barbacoa. In his adulthood, he becomes a very successful taquero vendor until he is essentially accused of cultural appropriation by a social media influencer.
How did you decide on the theme of this play?
Absolutely. I was invited to be part of the Circle of Imaginistas by the Latino Theater Company. And when I was prompted to write about interracial relationships, I really wanted to highlight and celebrate a lot of the cultural overlaps and sharing that we have in Los Angeles. And so I thought it was doing it through the angle of food or anchoring it in food would be a wonderful way to do it.
As an anthropologist, I know that every culture appropriates from other cultures, and it's a major way to appreciate those aspects of other cultures. He appreciated the depth of how the tacos were prepared and cooked in a deep pit. He went to the point of having his stand using organic food, and yet some people objected to that because it meant that the original customers couldn't afford it anymore, because in East LA and Boyle Heights area, they didn't have the money for such quality food. Do you feel that the tradition of food coming from different cultures can be appreciated and enjoyed and cooked and prepared by people of other heritage?
Absolutely. Great food is a combination of all cultures. I'm not sure, deep food researcher, but I would think that most cuisines, at least in this point in age, are all influenced by just global trade at some point, right? Global sort of interactions. I mean, Mexican cuisine is essentially a combination of ingredients from pre-Columbian history with European influences, with influences from East Asia, from the Philippines, right? I mean, just all these like combinations of things. I felt like food was such an enticing way of being able to highlight how we kind of communicate or talk about cultural sharing, cultural overlap, cultural appreciation, kind of within this situation, essentially, that Chino ends up finding himself in.
We know throughout Los Angeles area that there are a lot of street vendors and people eating on the streets, and in this market area that you've created in your play, there are a lot of different vendors, and yet there was one character who kept being upset that the city hadn't shut it down because of the trash and the other problems. Can you explain how we can deal with having street vendors and still have a decent, clean environment?
It's a tough question, right, Nancy? Different things are at play. I wish I had a simple solution that we could follow. I probably wouldn't be a playwright. I'd probably be a high-ranking city staff member. But you're absolutely right. It's very complex. I think it has much more to do with challenging economic circumstances that we find ourselves in a city where there are such vast degrees of, essentially, of wealth, right? People find themselves doing what they need to do to get by. I mean, I think it was something that was particularly scrappy and important for people to do during the pandemic to try to stay afloat, right? Particularly people also who do not have a direct way into some of the benefits that sort of a lot of people were receiving, right, from unemployment and some of these different things, right? And so a lot of the undocumented community had to figure out ways of generating income to stay afloat, to pay the rent, to eat. Right. And so it's a complicated situation. Right. But I think out of it has been born this really fruitful street culture where we just see food from different parts of the world that I think just give Los Angeles a very unique type of culture that you don't see too prevalent across the country.
Why did you have a character in the play who wanted to shut down this market?
We need to drive conflict. Right. But it's also a reflection of what we see sometimes in the development of these like clandestine markets at times, right? Not everyone is a fan. It's not a knock. It's for reasonable reasons often, right? There's a lot of traffic. There's noise, particularly when things aren't regulated or monitored, right? The fact that we had a character who was constantly requesting to shut down the market was to give a sense of this sort of looming kind of danger for these vendors.
You have a very interesting professional background, not just in playwriting, but in affordable housing, public transportation, electric vehicles, degrees in urban planning and business administration, and you touch briefly on the concept of gentrification. It wasn't dealt with in depth in the play, but that was something that was one of the issues that was brought up. Can you explain what that is and how it might be resolved?
Again, I think the point of how it might be resolved is also a challenging one. As an artist, it's helpful or it's nice to have a platform where we can have a discourse over some of these issues that I think are very prevalent in cities not just like Los Angeles, right? I currently live in the Bay Area where we experience one of the most expensive housing markets in the entire country. Los Angeles, I think, was the least affordable city in the entire country. I believe UCLA had a report out a few years back, primarily because the rate of rental increases continued to increase at a rate far quicker than wages did, right? And so this gap between what people are earning and how much their rent is continued to widen and widen to a point where the city of Los Angeles became the least affordable city in the country. And so when we have situations like that, I think it makes people defensive. It makes them weary. It makes them nervous about what their fate might be when the neighborhood is changing and bringing several amenities that may not feel like are directed to them necessarily, might be directed for a different type of demographic.
Your play has serious issues, but I love the way you brought in humor. You tackled the concept of interracial dynamics because one of the Mexican-American vendors kept calling the Korean-American Chino or Chinese. He kept saying, I'm Korean. The funniest one was where you brought in young Japanese in Japan who have adopted the low writer culture and cholos. What is a cholo?
I was reading about the term cholo, and I think it dates back to a really old Spanish word, right, that had derogatory connotations tied to it. And it might have been a situation where it may have been co-opted to sort of give it a different meaning. It's a nuanced sort of application, right, of how we're all flawed in how we interpret different things, right? Even the fact that Chino's character, who is Korean, his nickname is Chino, right, which in Spanish means a person of Chinese descent or heritage. The fact that that's his nickname name right can easily be perceived as something racist, something derogatory. But we sort of see the environment through which that comes about. We can call it some harmlessness that is where it comes from. These characters are all flawed. They're not perfect. What I hope is that there's enough context provided to understand where all of these characters are coming from. That's a common thread across the play, is hopefully offering a place where we can understand each other a little more, and specifically these characters.
You provided excellent context, and fortunately you had super titles in English so that regardless of what language the excellent actors were speaking, we could all understand. And of course, the musician coming out with his guitar, everybody can appreciate the beautiful music. But explain the name, because the play is Tacos La Brooklyn, and Brooklyn Avenue in Los Angeles doesn't exist anymore. It got renamed Cesar Chavez Boulevard in East LA, Monterey Park.
Right, absolutely. I mean, Brooklyn Avenue was a corridor that was very iconic for people in the East Side. It's what Cesar Chavez is today. I think it starts, what, east of Alameda? It's the same street that connects to Sunset. But you're absolutely right. It's called Tacos La Brooklyn because it pulls on some of these themes, right, of not just nostalgia, but erasure, sort of having a memory of the past. Some of the characters go through to more deeply understand themselves and more deeply understand the purpose of what they're doing. And so I just felt like it was a great way to celebrate some of our own history on the East Side and sort of remembering what our community has been throughout.
I enjoyed seeing it in the new vibrant downtown LA at the Latino Theater Company on Spring near Fifth Street. It was very active downtown. It's revitalized. It was wonderful to get down there, see the activity, see your very charming play, very moving play. How do people get more information, because your performances will just be through October?
That's right. Everyone can come see it, bring your friends, bring your family. And you're absolutely right, Nancy. The fact that the theater is right smack in the middle of downtown in a beautiful building, if you haven't had the chance to come see the LA Theater Center, which houses the Latino Theater Company.
An historic old bank building converted to three theaters. Absolutely great. They can definitely go and see the play. Do you focus on the play that you have just written and it's being performed, or are you constantly in the process of writing new plays? And are you going to explore some of these issues in more depth, or are you looking at writing a play about many other issues, including saving wilderness and endangered species?
Absolutely, Nancy. I'm focused on this now. I do have a full-time job, so I try to find time outside of that to be creative. I'm a backpacker. I'm a hiker. I'm a runner. I love running in the wilderness. I love hiking the Sierras, and climate change issues are something that are very front and center to me as well. And I think it's something that is very particularly important for the communities like Boyle Heights, where I grew up in. And so I do look forward to including or touching on those issues in the future.
I want to thank you so very much for writing Tacos La Brooklyn, for giving us this opportunity to learn about multiple cultures today. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
I have been speaking with Joel Ulloa. He is a playwright and has produced programs with the Latino Theater Company's Circle of Imaginistas, as well as other theater companies throughout the country. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.